ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God. And our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Praise the Lord. So, most of the communication patterns that people pick up are influenced by their background, family of origin, structure. Some people use, maybe where they grow up, they use silent treatment to communicate their, displeasure. It's likely that that's what you learn. Dari, what's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? I said, What is No, sometimes people don't say nothing. You know, if you say nothing, you have spoken word, but you are not using words. Yet, people are trying to find it very difficult to understand that something is just not right. So, ability to understand and cope with the various dynamics concerning people will help to strengthen our communication pattern. So, communication is to relationship what blood is to life. And every communication has three basic components. Number one, the content. Two, the tone of voice. And three, the non-verbal element. The content, the tone of voice, and the non-verbal element. We need to understand how those three things work. When we say someone is aggressive, what do we mean? Can I get response? Let's see different response. If I say Folake is aggressive, what do we mean? Put a lot of energy into what? High energy into things. I love that because that is positive. Yeah. Which context do you want to interpret it for us?
A go-getter.
You know, that's still positive. I love it. And in communication, we must understand that. For the fact that somebody is aggressive doesn't mean he's troublesome. Can I get an amen to that? And that's you know, you have to have a balanced perspective through this subject of communication. For example, if you are looking out to date a girl and you just find out that she makes decisions, she's on the spot, that might be an entrepreneur, isn't it? And that might be somebody who is not laid back. So it doesn't mean that, you know, the interpretation some people will give that, if I marry this person, she will control my life. No, we don't have to swing to the negative. And for the fact that someone is a go-getter, I love that. When we say someone is gentle, what does that suggest to you? Ayo is gentle. Calm is positive, but sometimes it can suggest lay back. Sometimes it can suggest being lazy. Sometimes it can suggest no drive at all, no passion for anything in life. So gentility is not what? But we just need to understand how this, because this is, some of these things, I just wish people will understand it. We can manage our relationship better, whether at work, whether in the home, whether for example, if you are a guy who is gentle, maybe it will be nice to actually get married to someone who is aggressive. Some people don't, if you can manage it, if you are secured in your gentility, or gentleness, maybe that will give you a push. That's a nice combination. Eh? Some people don't like that. Have you? Eh? It can be, but hey, you are there to put each other's on one another on your toes. And you can get things better done better. If I'm not motivated and you are not motivated, it affects our decision making, isn't it? And because I want us to look at the positive aspect of communication of in our relationship, I would rather, I mean, people talked about compatibility. I would rather get that as a good compatibility. Someone is driven, the other person is less driven, so we combine the energy and we become more driven. Eh? Please, I want us, we are here, that's why I said that it's not, is for a considerate person. Yeah. A good balance to such a relationship, yeah. You have a different opinion. Yeah, you can. I mean, I've created the balance. I say if the people are secure to manage it, are secure in what each person has. The person who is considerate, I mean, is secure. The person who is aggressive is also secure. So, but they are seeing themselves in that kind of relationship, whether it's a partnership, whether it's a marital relationship, they are seeing it as a source of strength. And not as a disadvantage. Yeah, you want to? Oh, yeah, let's hear you. They can't hear your voice. Can we get a microphone, please? Thank you.
Okay, so I say if the man is the one that is driven and the woman is the one that is gentle, most of the time it works better than for the woman to be the one that is driven and the man the one that is laid back. A lot of the times it causes trouble.
How?
Because the man feels that the woman is too pushy. It's controlling.
Can we say it's a cultural thing?
Yes.
Because I want us to be able to... I don't want us to... Because some people here may find themselves in such a relationship. I don't want you to see it as a negative thing. Can we say that it's a cultural element that we are battling with?
Is it a cultural element?
Not entirely. It's a personal thing.
It's a personal?
Yes. It's about the person. So long as you are not dominating the other person.
Yeah.
Because I believe that irrespective of how gentle the person is,
yeah,
the person also has some
strength.
And strength.
Yeah.
That will help you.
Yeah.
However, if your own aggressiveness or being so open is overshadowing the other person, it portrays a bit of being dominant, and so that's why I would agree that it's easier when, yes, the guy is the gentle one and the woman is, but at the end of the day I still feel
the guy is the aggressive one. That's what she's saying.
No, I can't support that aggressive because I can't turn to
violence. Can you see the different dimensions now?
The way people express themselves are different.
Yeah.
Some people express themselves in what we call now gesticulation.
Yeah.
Some people express themselves vocally.
Yeah.
Some people express themselves.
Some people just do this at every project that they are expecting.
Because we are from different backgrounds, it plays out differently. But you said something in the beginning, which is each person being secure.
Yeah.
I feel that both of them understanding that they are not working against each other.
Yeah.
That makes it easier.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Yeah.
So long as you know that, okay, this is where I'm going, play to your strength. This is where you are going, play to your strength. We're harmonizing at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But getting to that point is a lot of work and understanding.
And then who says it will be easy? If communication is indeed an art, we have to learn.
So my question is, what if it's in the context of a business partnership?
Yeah.
Would you consider it, would you consider, let's say for instance, you have a male and female partnership. If the female is the aggressive one in that business relationship, would it work better? Or would you? Do you think it's going to be? Do you think it's not as good as if it were in a relationship? I don't know if I'm clear.
Yeah.
So in that context, is it different? So I think that there's a lot of cultural undertone to that.
Yeah.
Because it is marriage, and also because it is culturally acceptable for the man to be the aggressive and the go-getter. But really, who says the woman shouldn't? Why can't? It's just about understanding and being able to apply wisdom, you know, at the end of the day.
And that's why we're here. I want to push for balance. I want to push for kingdom perspective. That's what I'm pushing for here by saying, because some of the things we regard as negativity in some of these contests are actually things that has robbed us of the opportunity that is supposed to be. The very important example that you give, because business partners, they see they are not there 24/7. Everybody is looking for what we push the interest of the business. So people just literally maybe, okay, in this area, because this person is aggressive, so they do well with marketing, they do well with presentation, they do well with negotiation. So we just automatically, in partnership, we defer. Who says we can't defer also in marriage? If it's going to help us, buy opportunities. Who says? That's what I'm pushing for. And then with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can have a spirit-controlled temperament to the point where we give room for each other to express ourselves without being a threat, but for the synergy of or cooperation of the relationship. You want to say something?
Yes, so I was going to say self-awareness is very important. So Mr. A and Mrs. B are in a relationship. So I think the basis should be that Mr. A is very aware of what his strengths and his weaknesses are. Mrs. B should also be aware of us. And they both become very aware and they become interdependent. So our goal is we are a family now. We want to build a home. I don't talk too much, right? And talking is your forte. Why do I need to disturb myself? Like, it's your task. Just do it. Provided it will take us to where we are going. If the other part... So we get to a point. Yes, so in the middle of it, that's where perspective, we talk about it and we know that, okay, you were trying to do it in the best interest of the family, but it didn't go. What went wrong? What didn't go well? And next time, in a matter of time, I think it's something that we can become better at, such that there'll be no competition.
Yeah, there shouldn't be anyway. I think the awareness, I have it here in my note, the awareness, the acknowledgement, the acceptance, the adaptation, and the appreciation. Five areas. The awareness, the acknowledgement, the acceptance, the adaptation, the appreciation. So if, for example, if someone has that strength in that particular area, we are both aware. And then that's not just the thing. We acknowledge it. This person is gifted, has strength in this area. And then we just moved on to accept it because we are working towards a goal. And like we agree, it can be in business partnership. It can be in a relationship leading to marriage. It can be an existing marital relationship. We just acknowledge it that this person has this. This, we accept it, and then the person who is of less, is he of less strength, I won't say disadvantage, begin to adapt themselves, because they are working towards a goal. I can learn from that. And over time, when we look at that as a positive interaction, I can even learn to the point where I'm the one who is actually doing the work. Maybe 3, 4, 5 years down the line. Iron sharpens iron. Is that not what the scripture says? A man sharpens the countenance of his friend. So, and then the appreciation. So it's not a threat. This is the strength for our relationship. So we are aware of it. It's just the issue. I don't want to get into that, but it's also so that let me not use it as an example. I want to use the word domesticated. No. I withdraw it. So that it doesn't look as if, since it is your strength, so just do it. And when somebody is cringing under that way, while the other person is folding their hands. Let me just tidy this up, because I want us to do exercises. Listening is key in communication. The art of listening. The heart of listening. Please, this is what I want us to understand. Has it ever occurred to you, why did God give us just one pair of mouth and then two pieces of ears? One mouth and then two ears. Eh? What? Yeah, talk less and do what? Listen more. And I want to just say one or two things, please, about listening. Listening is a key, is a skill. Please, listening is not keeping quiet. Thinking about what you are going to say when the other person stops talking. Because we do it a lot. Sometimes we are eager to say, he said, I understand what you are saying. No. We break into conversation. So, please, listening. And you know, sometimes when we, in our relationships, as it is, when people raise something that touches our vulnerability, our own guards are up. So, most of the time, people don't actually listen. And so what they hear, because it touches the area of their vulnerability, what they hear is the negatives. And so in responding, it's just that they are waiting for that person to finish so that they can respond. So listening is not keeping quiet, thinking about what you are going to say when the other party stops talking. Listening is not busy formulating your response. Listening is complete acceptance without bias of what is said, how it is said, when it is said, under the condition that it is said. And that looks like the kingdom mandate. Love believe all things. Isn't it? So we can't, if we are really, if you really want to cultivate the heart of listening, please don't run on assumptions. A lot of the time we do that in communication. Say, I know what you're saying. Oh, no. Stop. I know what you want to say. No, you are not a mind reader. So listening is a discipline. If we do well in communication, we must learn. Please. Also understand, acceptance doesn't mean necessarily mean agreement. But the fact that somebody is talking and you are agreeing, it doesn't you are accepting what they are saying, doesn't mean you agree with them. But it is that you understand what this other person is saying, recording their feelings, and then you, when they are finished talking, you can also now respond. That's how to avoid conflict. In communication, what we do most of the time is that we react and miss the meaning of what is being said. Real listening means you are able to repeat what has been shared without prejudice. You are not coloring it. You are able to repeat it. So, because the person is sharing their feelings, their thoughts, their emotions, and then you are able to repeat it, empathy with them. This is the way this thing, I'm still learning it, but this is the way it has worked for me as a person. Most times when people are talking to you, you don't have to respond. Did you get what I say? You don't have to respond to everything that people say to you. Sometimes people say things to you by just gazing intently at them, and they can see that you understand what is being said. And it's not a crime to say, when somebody asks you, what do you have to say? I don't have anything to say, but I can think about, and you repeat what they have said. So they know that you actually heard them. I don't have to say anything now. Let me also think about what you have said so that I don't give a wrong response. I think our relationship will be better that way. So listening is hard when it comes to communication. I will say that to you, it's hard. But that is the main thing. So real listening means each and every one of us, we are able to repeat what has been shared with us without prejudice, without bias. How do we grow in communication? Let me just quickly read them how. Please, it will be nice if you really want to know the mind of God concerning communication. Write down this following scripture, Proverbs 18:21. Proverbs is a book of communication. Proverbs 18:21. Proverbs 25:11. Proverbs 25:11. Job 19:2. Job 19:2. James 3:8-10. You see how the Bible describes the tongue, even though it's the little member of the body, but it has the ability to set the whole world on fire. So James 3:8-10, 1 Peter 3:10. 1 Peter 3:10. How do you grow in communication? Number one, be a ready listener. Be a ready listener. James 1:19 gives us, let every one of us be swift to hear, but what? Slow to speak, and then slow to show anger. Because most of the time, when we are quick to show anger, and we now find out the real gist of what is being communicated, a lot of the time, people also have ego. So now, go back and say, I'm sorry. So be a ready listener. Secondly, be slow to speak. So learn to think first. Be slow. This will help relationship or marriage. This will help courtship relationship. This will help business relationship. Be slow to speak. You don't have to offer an opinion. Think first. Be slow to speak. Proverbs 15:23. Proverbs 15:28. Then thirdly, learn to speak the truth in love without exaggeration. That's how to grow in communication. Learn to speak the truth in love without exaggeration. If you listen, you will understand what the other person is saying. And so don't help them say what they are not saying. Colossians 3:9. So learn to speak the truth in love. If you want to be good in communication, there's just one word. Is the greatest word of deliverance. If you don't want to be a people pleaser, ability to say no. Is it a yes or what? Please understand me. Is it a what? Yes or what? There is anything behind that, it is sin. It is people pleasing. So please understand, if you want to grow in the heart of communication, you must learn to speak the truth in love without exaggeration. Fourthly, don't use silent treatment to frustrate the other person. Don't use silent treatment. Don't use silent treatment. If you want to grow, you cannot afford to use silent treatment. Fifthly, don't turn non-issues into quarrels. Don't turn non-issues into quarrels. People do that a lot. Slight thing, they just, and before you know it, it will just be, what are we talking about? What is it that has come out of it? Don't turn non-issues into quarrel. Do you know that people fight over remote control? People fight, most of the things we fight about are non-issues, really. People fight over salt. People fight over apple. People fight over soap. Don't turn non-issues into quarrels. People fight over who moved my seat from this point to another. They can start a war through the day. Who picked my pen? Don't. So if you want to grow in communication, don't turn non-issues into quarrels. Proverbs 23. And then 6th point, don't respond in anger. Whatever you are, that's where listening comes. Don't ever respond to people in anger. Proverbs 15:1. Proverbs 25:15. And then lastly, which is something that we all of us in this room must learn. Admit when you are in the wrong. Admit it. And then if you need to ask for forgiveness, please do. Admit whenever you find out that you are wrong. Admit it. And if you need to ask for forgiveness, please do. And then avoid nagging or blame game. The reason why I do this is because of what he did or what she did. Avoid blame game. Avoid verbal attacks. You know, there is a first law of fighting. Is it attack? Eh? First attack. That's the law, a bad law of fighting. Ephesians 4:32.
This message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org for more.